We're going to take a little detour this morning. I was a bit convicted about the use of terms that I've been using over the years and blending of thoughts and not being consistent about them. So what I'm doing is I'm not necessarily correcting something that are changing something that I believe. It's just simply making it clearer the thoughts on what it is meant, what is meant by being saved, and what it is, means to be lost from a scriptural perspective. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. Jesus Christ came as the Lamb of God to die for the sins of all of mankind. And when I received Jesus Christ as my, before I received Jesus Christ as my Savior, I was lost. That's the problem. I'm using the wrong term. I was not saved. I had not received the common salvation. I was dead in my trespasses and sins. Now the word lost is a different story. The word lost comes from a Greek word, which is apolumai, or apolumi, however you want to pronounce it. And it means to perish. And to perish, as we will read in Matthew chapter 5 and some other extra material that I brought with me, you will see that perishing is separate and different than being dead in trespasses and sins. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 29 and 30, it says, "If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish." That's the word that's also translated lost. "And not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell," or Gehenna. "And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not thy whole body be cast into hell," or Gehenna. I did a search on the internet about the attaching of body parts back on the body. People have had their hands cut off, their legs cut off, their fingers cut off, and had them attached, reattached. And so I found an interesting article in the Cincinnati Inquirer from Springdale, Ohio. It says the University Hospital surgeon reattached a meat plant worker's hand Sunday after it was severed from at the wrist in a mixing machine. Surgery took 11 hours and appeared to be successful, but Sylvester Walker prospects for a full recovery are unknown, according to one of the orthopedic surgeons. And it says that Mr. Walker, 21, of Springdale, was listed in serious condition. He had started his third shift job at Copaz Packing Corporation when the injury occurred in the morning, at 12:34 in the morning. When the Springdale Emergency Medical Services arrived, Mr. Walker was alert but in shock. Fire Emergency Medical Services Captain Ralph Ritchie said they, that is the co-workers, had a tourniquet, pressure, and the hand was in a bag. So they picked up the hand and put it in a bag. The doctor said that was the correct procedure in the crucial seconds after amputation. The viability of a severed limb varies, but generally a finger can be successfully reattached up to 24 hours after the injury. A hand with a larger muscle that more quickly worsens without blood flow must be reattached in 8 to 10 hours. The doctor said it is the first few minutes that are crucial. Stay calm. Have someone call your local emergency number. Bandage the wound. Apply pressure. Stop the bleeding. Wrap the severed limb in a clean, moist sponge washcloth. And then put it in a plastic bag. Put the bag in another filled with ice water. Not just ice. Limbs need to be cooled, but mustn't freeze. The reason I'm reading this is this. A severed hand, just because it's not on the body, does not mean it is dead. You don't take a dead hand and put it on a live body. It takes a while for that hand or that body part to perish. And that's what the word perish means. It takes time. And actually, God gives us time not to perish. Okay? And so when we're taking, cutting off hands, and I'm just using that to lead into the story that I'm giving you, the perishing is not an event. Perishing is a process. It takes time to do for that to happen. In Acts chapter 5, verse 10, then fell she, that is Sapphira, his wife, down straightway at his feet, that is Peter's feet, because they were lying about some property they had sold. And she yielded up the ghost, and the young men came in and found her dead. She wasn't perishing. You see what I mean? And you know what they did with this perished or this dead woman? They carried her forth and buried her. Now, when you lose a hand or a finger, you have time. It's perishing. You don't go bury it. It reminds me of a parakeet that we had in our home when Gene and I were first married. Gene just gave me an oh no. And we usually let the little bird fly around the house, you know, have free reign of the house. The doors and windows were closed. And so Jean was doing some ironing, and she accidentally shut the door on the little bird's foot. Well, we didn't do anything about it. We didn't take it down to the vet. Anyway, so the bird's foot, it couldn't. It died. It was on the bird and it was dead. And the bird couldn't use its claws to hang on with. It only had one good claw. And so, to me, I could see that it was in the way. So I took a pair of wire cutters. And I reached up. Well, I didn't reach up. I had a little bird on my finger, and I just reached over, and I just clipped that leg right off. That bird didn't even flinch. Didn't even bother her. I say her, whatever it was. It was dead. It had long since perished. That's the point, again, I'm trying to make. You can, if it's dead, it's got no feeling, it's got no life. Now, in Luke chapter 19, verse 10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." The word the word lost here is the word perish. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save those that are perishing. Now, at Christmas, we went over the lesson on the fact that Jesus Christ came into His own people, save people, to deliver them from sin, from their sin. And so when Jesus came, or when the Son of Man is come to seek and to save or to deliver those that are perishing, because if you're living in sin, you know what you're doing? If you are saved, you are in the process of perishing. The lifeblood is being bled away. And you won't go to hell, okay? But you're not going to like the consequences of not living for the Lord, okay? So the Son of Man has come to seek and to save or to deliver from sin those that are perishing. That's perfect active participle. The ones perishing. In Matthew chapter 10, it says that these 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, "Go not in the way of the Gentiles, and into any city of the Samaritans enter ye not, but go rather to the perishing sheep of the house of Israel." Now, there were Gentiles and Samaritans that were saved, but they didn't have something they could lose like the nation of Israel had or was being offered to them. The nation of Israel was being offered what? Well, verse 7 says, "And go and preach, the kingdom of heaven is at hand." They, to perish is to lose those positions of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. That's what perishing means. I am persuaded, okay? In Numbers chapter, let me just say this, when we're talking about perishing sheep, I'm going to read to you Numbers 18:17. It says, "The firstling of a cow or the firstling of a sheep or the firstling of a goat shall not be redeemed." They're holy. When you read about sheep, these sheep are not, they are not unsaved, or they're not, they are saved. I'll better put it that way than positive way. I don't want to use the word lost, because the word lost has to do with perishing. And that's the reason why I've been guilty of doing this, and I don't want to do this anymore. That's the reason why I'm bringing this message this morning. In John 10, it says, "My sheep," in verse 27, "my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand." Well, this passage of Scripture is loaded with the present tense. This means that these sheep are being faithful. What are they faithful in doing? Well, they're faithful in hearing the shepherd. And the shepherd is faithful, present tense, in knowing the sheep. And the sheep are faithful in following him. That's in the present tense, present active indicative. And it says, "I give unto them eternal life." Well, let me just say this. I know that we do not receive eternal or life for the age, because that's what the word eternal life means. That's kingdom life. We don't have kingdom life now. We will get it when, if we're qualified to rule and reign with Christ in His coming kingdom in the millennial, the next millennium, which is the seventh day. So I decided I'd look up the word give and see what that means. Because this word give is in the present tense. And I don't expect Him to keep on giving me life for the age. He'll give me my positions of honor and glory if I qualify as a king once. But this is an ongoing thing. And I found out that the word give can be translated minister. Those that are listening to me and following me, I am ministering to them life for the age. In fact, it's interesting here, life for the age, "and they shall never perish for the age." That's not in the King James. "For the age" is in the Greek text. It's in the majority text as well as the Nestle's text. "And they will not perish." If you're listening and you're following and you're receiving the ministry of life for the age, you're not going to perish today in this age. And neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. In other words, What this means is not plucking them out, any man plucking them out of the Father's hands, is simply this. These sheep are only listening to one person, and that's the shepherd. And as soon as you start listening to somebody else, that man's going to pluck you out of the Father's hand. Not to send you to the lake of fire for eternity, but just simply to deceive you or distract you from following the Lord. Okay? Now, in Matthew chapter 18, we have a further example of the sheep and the Son of Man, verse 11. For the Son of Man has come to save that which is lost or perishing, or those that have begun to perish. They're not dead yet. Let me say this. You don't go out and get a dead sheep and wrap it around your neck and bring it in and rejoice over it. We've already seen on TV people mourning over the loss of loved ones. But here is the Son of Man has come to save that which is perished or has begun to perish. How think ye if a man have 100 sheep and one of them be gone astray? In other words, to perish means you've done what? You've gone astray. You're getting ready to lose something, and that is your life. And we'll find out what that life is a little later here. Doth he not leave the 99 and goeth into the mountains and seeketh, present tense, that which is gone astray, present tense, continually going astray? And if so be that he find it, verily I say unto you, he rejoices more of that sheep than the 99 which went not astray. Even so it is not the will of the Father that which is in heaven that one of these little ones should perish. So the sheep are referred to as the little ones. And it's not the Father's will that the little ones, these sheep, little sheep, are not to perish or to lose their life. Matthew chapter 18 verse 3 says, and Jesus said, and verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as a little children, that's paideion, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. So when you are perishing, you're disqualifying yourself from entering the kingdom of heaven, of ruling and reigning with Christ. And it's not the Father's will that any of these little ones should perish. In Matthew chapter 18, verse 6, it says, but whoso shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, notice it's the little ones that are believing in the present tense. And it's a participle. It's a noun. It's a substantive. And I'm persuaded in my study that it's equivalent to faith. In other words, if you expect to live a life in the coming kingdom with honor and glory, you better be living by faith. You better be pleasing the Father. You better be pleasing the Lord. So, if whosoever shall offend one of these little ones which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea. John chapter 17, verse 12. This has to do with his disciples, his apostles. None but one perished. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in thy name. Those that thou gavest me, I have kept. And none of them is perished, but the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. Now, the word perdition is the noun form of the word perishing. Jesus Christ lost none of his apostles except one. and that was Judas. Judas perished. Judas will not rule and reign in the coming kingdom. I am persuaded that Judas was saved. He was not lost. He was chosen out of disciples to be his apostle, one of his apostles. And if you read the qualifications of being a disciple, Judas had to be saved. No question in my mind, and there's no need in debating with me on that. Okay? I just thought I'd just set that straight. Anyway. So, it's interesting that the scriptures might be fulfilled. I'd hate to be fulfilling scripture and my name be Judas. But you know one thing? Judas will not spend eternity in the lake of fire. God has never determined a single human being that has ever been born to be destined to the lake of fire for eternity. Be assured of that. If that's the case, then it would have said Jesus died for every man except one. And that one would have been Judas. There was no chance of him ever getting saved. So, let's continue. In Jude chapter 1, verse 5, it says, I will therefore put you in remembrance, though you once knew this, how that the Lord, having saved the people out of the land of Egypt, He delivered the nation of Israel out of the land of Egypt. Afterwards, destroyed them that believed not. After what? After they left Egypt, these that left Egypt were destroyed. And the word destroyed is apolumai. They perished. Where did the children of Israel perish? They perished in the wilderness. In Hebrews chapter 3, verse 17. But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? They sinned 10 times, it tells us in Numbers. And that was the end of it. You sin 10 times? No, that's not... Don't take me wrong, buddy. We've sinned more than 10 times, okay? But the point is this. 10 is the ordinal number of completion. In other words, what they had done is they had gone beyond the place of no return. They had rebelled against God so many times that God said, no, you're not going into the land. And they didn't. They fell in the wilderness. To whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not. What did they not believe? That God would give it to them. Oh, these giants in there, we're just like grasshoppers. They moaning and carrying on about it. God said, you're not going in. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. And it can, in the context continues in chapter 4, verses 1 and 2. Let us therefore fear. They didn't enter in. You better fear that you won't, unless you enter in, won't enter in. That's the key. That's the key. They went too far. You better make sure you don't go too far, or I don't go too far with my going astray. Because the further I go astray and the longer I go astray, there comes a time when they will just bury me. I will perish. Okay? Now let's go on. Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? Oh, excuse me. Hebrews 4:1. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. What they heard was a better inheritance. What we are hearing through the gospel, or Paul's gospel, is that there is a better inheritance. It's a heavenly inheritance. And we can fail to enter that if we don't have faith, if we're not pleasing God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verses 17 and 18, it's very interesting here. And if Christ be not raised, your faith is vain. You're yet in your sins. Then they also which are fallen asleep in Christ are perished. If you continue in sin, you will perish. But there's something else interesting in this verse of Scripture here that I just saw this week studying for this. Notice that in verse 18 it says, they also which are fallen asleep, that has to do with physical death, and they are where? In Christ. Did you know that you can be in Christ apart from faith? All you have to do is believe. You do the verb, not the noun. And you can be in Christ, and if there is no faith, you will perish. You can be saved apart from the... In other words, what that's telling me is this. That when Jesus Christ died on the cross, He didn't need to do another thing for every man in the world to be saved. But He needed to be raised from the dead so that faith would work and I could please Him. And I'll tell you this, if I can please and if I will continually practice pleasing God, I'm going to hear a well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm going to enter into the joy of the Lord. I'm going to rule and reign with Him in His coming kingdom. So salvation is based on His crucifixion. My ability to please Him is based upon His resurrection. Okay. Now in John chapter 3, verses 13 through 16, it says, no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that cometh or came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And this lifted up is not on the cross. This lifted up is lifted up into heaven. We just got through reading in verse 13 that it's the Son of Man that ascends into heaven. And just as Moses put the serpent on the pole and lifted it up, this is the same thing as Jesus Christ being lifted up into heaven to be our high priest. This doesn't have anything to do with the crucifixion. Even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why would He be lifted up? So that faith would work. Because that's what John 3:16 is talking about, living by faith. Verse 15, whosoever believeth, present active participle. This participle is a noun. And it's the equivalent of faith. Whosoever lives by faith, he should not perish. Actually, he may not perish. Why is it why is this subjunctive in there? Why is there a little hint of being able to fail? The reason is, I can depart from the faith. I can quit pleasing God. And as soon as I start quit pleasing God, you know where I'm wandering around? I'm wandering around in the mountains and the Lord's running around trying to get me. Okay? Trying to catch me. So, I may not perish if I continue to believe in the present tense. But I will esteem not have age-lasting life. I don't get life of the age until the millennium. Right now, what am I doing? I am esteeming. I am regarding. I am placing a high value on life of the age. You know what that does? It encourages me to continue to live in the present tense by faith. The present active participle, believe. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth, present active participle, in Him should not... believeth in Him, should not perish. In fact, it's interesting here, it's the word me and not the word "u" as far as the word "not" is concerned. In the Greek, you can say "no" two different ways. If you say "me," no, M-E, you're saying "no, maybe." If you say "u," no, absolutely no. No compromise. Here, it's me. You can perish. You know why I know that? You know what? God gave us one example. Judas. None of us have had the privilege of Judas. None of us. Judas had the privilege of casting out demons, healing the sick. I have never done that. I have never seen the Lord. I have never seen Him break the loaves of bread and the fishes and feed 5,000. Judas did. And so therefore we don't even come near what privileges that Judas had. And you know what? He failed. He failed because he held the bag and he was a crook. He was greedy. Okay? So, if I want to continue to believe, I better esteem life for the age. Because if I have a regard for ruling and reigning with Christ, you know what? I'm going to continue to be faithful to the Lord. Now, Paul's preaching. Paul preached the gospel. In 1 Corinthians 17 8 and 8, excuse me, 1 Corinthians 1, 17 and 18. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made none effect. For the preaching, or the word of the cross, the word preaching is not there, it's the word word, the word of the cross, to them that perish, in other words, these are those who have life but are perishing. It's foolishness. What is foolishness? Well, what is the word of the cross? Personally, I feel the word of the cross is to take up my cross daily and follow the Lord. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. You know what? I want the Lord to know me. I want Him to know me. That's all I can tell you. But taking up the cross, I believe, is daily and following the Lord, that is dying to self. That's the word of the cross. A lot of people think you don't have to die to self. You've got it all. You got saved. You have the whole thing. And that's just, that's a lie. That's what the devil told Eve. Oh, you can eat that tree and have all the rest too. Just, it didn't work that way. But anyway. But unto us, which are saved, and that's a present passive participle, and I don't associate this word saved with being born from above. This word saved here is, because it's in the present tense, has to do with being delivered. Those of us who are being delivered from the power of sin know what it means to take up the cross and die to self. Because salvation is an event, not an ongoing process. So I look at this as being delivered, and it is the power of God that helps us to be delivered. The preaching or the word of the cross is the power of God to deliver us from what? From quitting, from going astray. Now, what was Paul's gospel? 2 Corinthians 4:3, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are perishing. The word hid means veiled. Paul's gospel is a veiled gospel. And it is veiled to those who are saved. I'm starting to have to think. I don't want to use the word lost. The word saved, but are perishing. They are continuing to go astray. And so therefore God begins to veil them. And in fact, we know that Satan is in the business of veiling Paul's gospel. I didn't put it in here, didn't have enough room to put all these verses in here. But God of this age is veiling the minds of us that are perishing. Verse 2 Thessalonians 2:14. This was Paul's gospel. Wherefore he called you by our gospel to the obtaining of the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. And this word obtaining can also be translated purchase. If you're going to have the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's going to cost you. It's not free. It's not automatic. It's a calling. And a calling has to do with the lips and the voice. And if you have ears to hear, you can respond to that calling. Okay, that's what Paul's gospel is all about. Paul's gospel is preaching the word of God to save people that they might have a heavenly inheritance. Let's continue. Romans chapter 16, verse 25. Now to him that is the power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began. What Paul was preaching was kept secret. From whom? The 12 apostles. They didn't know it. In fact, they resisted it. What was it, the secret that Paul got? Was that the Gentiles would now be included in this inheritance in the heavens. Where the 12 apostles heard, don't you go in the way of the Samaritans or the Gentiles. Paul says, I got this from God or from the Lord. It was revealed to me. And the apostles didn't know it. In fact, Peter resisted it, I guess, for 15 or so years after Christ was raised from the dead or went back to heaven. Now, in Luke, and I need to be closing, and I want to just give you these two verses or these two portions, and then we'll be done. We perish today, or we'll perish tomorrow. Now, that's a play on words, but you'll see what I mean. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily. That's the word of the cross. For whosoever will save his life now will perish it. Oh, excuse me, I'm reading that wrong. Let me just read this. Whosoever will save his life shall lose it now. Okay? If I expect to have life for the coming age, you know what I've got to do? I've got to perish my life now. Perishing my life now means simply that I'm taking up my cross daily. Perishing my life today is following Him and not going astray. Not going where I want to go. See that little sheep who went astray? He had took off going where he wanted to go. And he was perishing. Because his life was not dead to himself. So let's go on. But whosoever will lose, hapalumai, his life now for my sake, the same shall save it then in the coming kingdom. I'll have a life of honor and glory in the coming kingdom. For what is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and perish himself? Or be a castaway. That's what it means to perish. It's to be a castaway. Paul was concerned that after having preached to others, I myself would be a castaway. Paul was concerned about that. And we need to be too. But you know one thing. With this I close. And I am so thankful for this verse. 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise. And that's the promise, which is age-lasting life. As some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. Who is this? Peter and to all the saved that he is writing to. He is writing us where it has to do with believers. Not willing that any of us should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Change. God wants us to change. If we're going to stray, come home. He's waiting. And I'm not talking about salvation now. I'm talking about a child who's straying away to come back. Come back. And I'm so glad that He is not willing that He didn't want me to perish. He wants me to make it. And you need to know that. So He hasn't given up on you. Don't you give up on yourself. Come back. Father, I just pray that You'd bless the thoughts this morning to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.